This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Like, say I want to see what you're doing and who you're hanging with, and you're not posting about it on your story. I can just stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. You do that?
No, I don't do that. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages and keep it between friends, and then use that money to buy something at a store with Apple Pay.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Maybe. Shh. Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stefan Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And today we have a treat for you.
Yes.
A very special treat. So, as you know, our good friend Eves has started a new podcast. So you've heard Eves on here doing various female first, also some other episodes. You also heard her and her co-host over on their podcast on Theme, Katie, come on and talk about the importance of Black storytelling. And we really love talking to them. We love working with them. They sent us a card. We gushed about it in the most recent female first. I saw it today and I was once again overwhelmed by And so we really wanted to highlight that. If you haven't gone to listen to the show yet, if you haven't subscribed, we wanted to give you a taste of it because it is really, really good. They've done such a good job. And they have so many topics that just fit naturally into what we talk about. They're just if you're interested in this show, you'd be interested in this.
Yes. And then you also need to be subscribed for when they actually come out with my excited, I'm already excited for the Cinderella, Brandy Cinderella episode, which I have been begging them to do, and they promised that they would.
Mm-hmm. It was honestly, it was a heartfelt campaign, and you've succeeded, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure. I'm going to hold on to that.
I can't wait. I'm excited about it, too. We could do a group event. We could replay the episode
we did. Yes. Oh, that'd be amazing. Let's do this.
Yes, I think we can. So you might hear a few because we had a hard time picking what episode we wanted to run in our feed from on Theme because there's also one about horror and you know we're all about horror. Mm-hmm. But today we are going to play an episode called TV FOMO IRL in which Katie and Eves talk with Dr. Joy Harden Bradford of Therapy for Black Girls. And it's just a great fit for the show. We hope that you enjoy it. Please go subscribe. And yeah, we'll hopefully get to talk more about this later with Eves and Katie. But yes, in the meantime, please enjoy.
On Theme is a production of iHeartRadio and Fairweather Friends Media.
Today's episode, TV FOMO IRL. You ever be watching a show and see the characters experiencing something that you never experienced and be like,
I ain't never had that ever happen to me. I'm trying to get to see what that be like right there. Look, be that, look.
Yeah, they be living their best lives, and I'm just over here watching them from my average life.
But, I mean, you don't have to just sit and watch. You could...
Could what?
You know, use those characters as a blueprint and do what they're doing.
So you're saying I should mimic a TV show in my real life?
I mean, when you say it like that...
So how would you say it?
Like, you never seen something on TV or a movie or read something in a book and thought, I want that to happen to me.
Yeah, for sure. I have. Who hasn't?
Exactly. Art inspires. It's so hard not to compare our lives to the storylines we see on the screen and on the page.
But unlike television and movies, real life doesn't give us second takes or feed us lines. There are no copy editors or fact checkers in our day-to-day lives.
In this week's episode, we'll look back at the times we compared our lives to fictional storylines and were in for a rude awakening.
We'll explore the potential negative impacts of life attempting to imitate art with Dr. Joy Harden Bradford of Therapy for Black Girls.
I'm Katie, the author of the forthcoming anthology about Black bookstores in the United States, Prose to the People.
And I'm Eves, a writer, a yoga teacher and student, and a person who loves to be outdoors.
We talk a lot about how stories have impacted us.
Yes, we have an entire podcast dedicated to Black storytelling, indeed.
Facts. And I've been thinking about the way storytelling can negatively impact us. Like, not in a traumatic way, but kind of in a bum us out, give us FOMO type of way.
Fear of missing out is real, but that phrase usually comes up when people are talking about social media.
Yeah, which is its own form of storytelling. Like, you see someone having a great time in Bali, and now all of a sudden you want to go to Bali. Can't point to Bali on the map. But you want a flower bath.
Okay, that's really specific, but...
It was a self-drag.
Gotcha.
But I found myself judging people who, from my perspective, were copying other people's lives they saw on social media, then posting it on social media. But after doing some much-needed self-reflection, I came to the conclusion that I do that too, using social media and more traditional forms of media.
I can see the vacation thing. It is giving, I'm out being adventurous, and you're sitting at home... On the couch, like you always do, not going to DeVry University.
In your little maid outfit.
Right. Wait, what?
What? It was a Love & Hip Hop reference. Only the real now.
I've never seen that.
Only the real now.
I haven't seen one episode of that show. I'm loose. I'm floating in the universe. There's nothing but ether around me and darkness
because hey.
I don't be watching reality TV. Anyway, so like what storylines from TV left you feeling disappointed? Is it easier for TV shows to leave you feeling disappointed as compared to social media, I mean?
Yeah, I think TV shows really do it for me. Like, sure, the conflict, you know, they have is often wrapped up nicely at some point and they might have like a special destination episode or whatever. But generally what... you're watching on TV is their quote-unquote normal lives. So I'm like, damn, I want my normal life to be like this.
Yeah, because you're really going along for the ride with them. Like, you have more time that you spend with them. And especially for longer series, every episode can't be this huge special day. There has to be a lot more filler and just a lot more things that happen in general.
Yeah, and it's like the mundane things that I'd be like, wow, I can't even have the mundane things. For example... one thing that I found myself being disappointed by in my life, comparing it to TV series, was therapy.
Like talking to a therapist?
Yeah, like I had put it off for a year or two, but I kept seeing TV therapists work wonders for their clients. Like they were so prepared for their sessions, deeply interested in seeing their clients improve, and their offices were cute. So I was like, okay.
It sounds like that wasn't your experience,
girl. Not at all. I'm not even trying to be funny. I've had multiple therapists confuse me for other clients.
Dang, that's messed up.
They're like, oh, what about your pet dog's missing leg? I'm like, what are you talking about? Wrong bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the therapists I've had were nothing like Molly's therapist on Insecure.
2 weeks ago, you said, things should be easier for me as a successful Black woman. And another time you said, things should have fallen into place by now. Is there a certain way you think your life should go?
Oh, well, I mean, I do have specific life goals, and I think that if you work hard, then it ought to yield certain results.
There's a medical term called magical thinking. When we believe what we want can influence the external world as opposed to accepting things as they are.
Yeah, I can really tell that the therapist is keyed into Molly, bringing up something that she said 2 weeks ago to establish a pattern, introducing medical terms.
See, and for me, you know, we came into adulthood when folks were openly embracing therapy, so I had this notion that I should go. Look at me sounding like Molly. But it was depictions like this that made me think that a therapist would really help me.
I can see how that's disappointing, because therapy is one of those things that is hard to understand before you try it yourself. So these fictional portrayals make sense to use as an example for someone who hasn't been before.
My thoughts exactly. It's weird to ask someone you know, like, how was your therapy session? What y'all talk about? How'd that make you feel?
I've been wanting to, though, honestly. But it is a little weird.
You know, just a little bit. And because of the nature of therapy, when a therapist shows up in a show, they're mostly there to help a main character with a personal conundrum or reach an epiphany.
And you were hoping you'd find a therapist who'd do the same for you.
Yes, girl. Main character energy. But alas, life isn't a story, and I am not a character. I am a non-fictional person.
Say it out loud.
I'm a non-fictional person!
So how did you handle that disappointment with your therapist? Did you shop around?
No, I stopped seeing my therapist for reasons related more to capitalism and America's messed up healthcare system. I mean, I thought about getting another one, but the thought of having to let someone else get to know me and my issues was too exhausting. Mm-hmm. What about you? Do you have a life imitating art moment?
Yeah, I do for sure. I mean, speaking of Insecure, one thing that I see on TV a lot that just has not been my experience is the large but somehow close-knit friend group. You know, sometimes it's a pretty big group, like 6 people. And sometimes there's like a base of 3 or 4 people and then a concentric circle around that core of folks. But either way, the group of friends is close. I mean, they all know each other super well and have for a while in a lot of instances. They can hit each other up in the wee hours of the morning about anything. They're down for last minute plans. They go on vacations together. They move cities, countries, and stay friends. And they've been doing stuff like having immediate, urgent group calls about drama that's going down in that very moment. And also, the drama a lot of times isn't even that urgent, and they still be picking up the phone. They're always debriefing and whatnot. Like in this clip from 20s.
This is the first ottoman I reupholstered for you. Now it's ruined.
Yo, who are you calling?
Chuck, so he can come help us pack up your
We ain't packing up. Okay, we are going to Cinespia. I am ready to get my life from All About E.
You just got evicted, and you trying to go sit on the grass and watch a movie?
Yes!
Or like Living Single, Girlfriends, Harlem, etc. The examples of this go on, where there are friend groups that are relatively large, but still very close-knit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think something that ours both have in common is like wanting to be like really known by somebody and feeling like...
Is this the therapy session?
Okay. Well, tell me what your daddy did. But I mean, as someone who's known you for a long time, I'm surprised that this was your example because I see you as having that. I mean,
really?
Like, you know, you have your college friends and y'all be having y'all joint birthday parties and going out the country together. And I'm like, wait, what's going on? I thought that was what it was. So it's interesting that you like don't experience it that way.
I really don't. I don't, because I guess when I see it, and maybe that is the whole, the fact that a TV show has a whole mythology around it and there's an industry created to make these specific moments look like this. But to me, it feels like the friend groups, they all mesh in a way differently than my friend groups mesh. I feel like everything is segmented for me. Like, I feel like this, I have these friends that I do this thing with, and I have these friends over here who I do this with. But for me in shows, it feels like those friend groups, everybody crisscross. It's like a big web and everything meets in the center. Mm-hmm. And also, I also think like the logistics work differently in the shows. I think cause it's like, I got to schedule this. I've been trying for a month to get with these two friends at the same time.
Yeah.
And it hasn't worked out because our schedules are very misaligned.
Yeah.
And we don't be group calling at all.
No. Yeah.
Like there's just a level of synergy and kinship that I don't feel like I have in the same way that I see in shows. It feels very flowery. And it feels very poetic in shows in ways that it doesn't feel like in my life. And so I don't want to make it seem like I don't have people I love in my life and that I'm close to. It just doesn't work the same way that I see in shows. And like, I find myself
like being like, that looks really nice.
Yeah. It's like you don't see the, hey, can you come out here? Oh, mm-hmm. No. Like you don't see that back and forth, like the all the logistics of having that friend group,
yeah,
and all that meeting up, like mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm at exactly. The park, and you happen to be at the park,
right? It seems so spontaneous, yeah. And everything's fresh and new.
It's breezy,
yeah, it's breezy. That's a good way to put it.
It's a breezy,
and of course, shows are meant to be a spectacle. So TV storytellers want our eyes to be glued to the screen. Also, characters and their relationships, they have to have some kind of spice and intrigue. So there has to be exposition, and they have to build a story's world. But dang, even when we know what we're watching is fiction and the storytellers are doing their damnedest to suspend our disbelief, it can be hard not to feel some longing for the lifestyles that you see. And there is psychological research around how people interact and bond with the fictional characters that they become attached to. In a 2012 study, researchers from Ohio State University used the term, quote, experience taking, to describe the actions of readers who take on the thoughts, beliefs, and emotions of fictional characters. Sometimes we do actually let the attitudes and actions of fictional characters influence our real-life decisions. And like, for me, I see in these fictional friend groups that everything isn't always sweet. They make mistakes, get in fights, and they even break up. But still, they share this deep kinship that even from the time I was a child, I think I imagined all adults having. But as an adult now, it doesn't feel like that. And ooh, now that I think about it, there is a social media trap here too. Black girl friend group travel is such a thing. Folks be making it look all luxurious and drama-free in the feed, acting like they have 1.5 fights every day, but still giving us FOMO.
Yes, like... speaking of like the big friend group, like I've never been a part of one, but I've been like kind of those like special guest characters mm-hmm. and like, oh, they come in for this episode.
You're the cameo.
Yeah, it's giving cameo. It's giving we invited you because we did not have enough people and we needed to split this trip up better. But yeah, like being on the outside of the group, but still being with them, you see like... this isn't even fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fun on social media, but, like, being with y'all is not even fun. So, like, why was I tripping off this?
Also, seeing that from a sober perspective, when I would imagine everybody is not sober in those groups around
you. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to start drinking and doing drugs because y'all be having fun.
It's not going to help. It's not going to help.
I have a sneaking suspicion that we're not the only ones who have felt dejected when our life and experiences didn't live up to the characters we watch every week. So I wanted to bring in an expert to give us some insight on why we compare ourselves to fictional people, how that's impacting us, and some reframing techniques we might find helpful.
When you say things like reframing techniques, it starts to make me feel like I really am in a therapy session already.
Not quite, but we are going to be chatting with
Dr. Joy
from Therapy for Black Girls right after the break.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Hey, y'all. I'm Dr. Joy Harden Bradford. I'm a psychologist in Atlanta and also the founder of Therapy for Black Girls. I'm also the author of Sisterhood Heals, The Transformative Power of Healing in Community.
So, you know, we're watching TV, we're watching movies, even reading books, and we see something, we're like, we want this to happen in our lives. My example was therapist. I watched Insecure, and you remember Molly's therapist? She was so good. Her office was so cute. She had all the great insights for Molly and listened to her and remembered everything from last session, didn't mix her up with different clients. And I was like, I need to go to therapy, and that's what my therapist is going to be like. And it just did not turn out like that. And I was very disappointed.
Yeah. So I actually thought that Molly's therapist was a good depiction of what therapy actually looks like, because I do feel like a lot of times television gets therapy wrong. Most often I see like very inappropriate boundaries between therapists and clients, which typically doesn't happen in real life. But I actually thought Molly's therapist, in terms of like not getting her mixed up and like tracking across sessions, like I feel like that's kind of like the bare minimum. So I'm kind of sad to hear that that did not match up with your reality.
Yeah, I was too, honestly, Dr. Joy. When I heard Katie tell me this, I mean, I know about her, some of the experience she's had in therapy. So I feel like that's unlike a lot of people. You know, Katie and I are close enough for her to tell me, like, let me in on her experiences that she's had with therapists. Uh-huh. But I was thinking that too. I was like, yeah, like, isn't that what they're supposed to do? Like, the least of what they're supposed to do? Yes. So I'm right there with you.
Oh, whoops. I was like, well, Molly just had the best therapist ever.
And that's valid coming from your perspective, because that's the experience that you've had.
So. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, so for me, it wasn't about therapy. For me, the thing that I saw not lining up with expectations in my reality when I was watching television was friend groups. For me, one of the things that I saw, expectation of like looking at these really lovely, like, relationships that these people had in these shows that are specifically Black friend groups. I found that I didn't have that experience in real life. And I found myself being like, I kind of want that. That seems really nice. Yeah. So there's some longing for it.
Yeah, I love that you shared that, because I feel like I'm clearly in my sisterhood bag right now, right? Because I'm all in the celebration of Sisterhood Heals. But I find that interesting that we're also celebrating the 30th anniversary of Living Single this year. And I feel like that is one of those shows that a lot of sisters go back to and say like, oh, this is what I thought like friends and friend groups were going to be like. And then the reality of it does not match. And I think we have to think about, you know, like what was happening in the world 30 years ago that is very different from now, right? So there weren't cell phones, or if there were, like they weren't readily available like we have them now. Mm-hmm. People, I think, did maybe live in closer proximity to one another. And it just feels like they didn't have as many things that competed for their interest and time the way that we do now. And so when you see, you know, all of them able to kind of go together for breakfast, it feels like they had like breakfast a lot together on Living Single, which I think is cute. But, you know, like be able to meet each other for breakfast before they go to work and, you know, all of that stuff, like that doesn't take into consideration like a commute and dropping kids off for daycare and like all of these things that I think are just very different about the world that we find ourselves in now. And I'm not surprised to hear that you long for that. And I do think that there are some pieces of what we see in media, on television, that we can think about, like, okay, maybe we can't have like a brownstone where all of our best friends live, but what pieces of this can I model and, you know, kind of take into my own life and kind of have some semblance of that kind of meets that need for me? Because I just think that there's so much competing for our attention right now, right? Like, they didn't have Instagram back in Living Single days, right? And so, you know, the time we're spending scrolling on Instagram and playing on TikTok, like, could you be having a group chat with your girls? You know, and I just think that there are so many things that do distract us that it is good to be able to kind of put all of that away and make time to really intentionally connect with one another.
And it sounds also, when you said, look at what aspects that you could have, you know, you could have breakfast together sometimes. So it sounds like you're saying it's not pathological to be looking at these examples and wanting some of that.
Absolutely not. I mean, that's why we resonate with certain shows, right? Is because they feel super realistic. But I think you also have to remember that there's a whole writing team and lots of editing and all of these things that go into making these like shows that we love. But we also love these shows because they feel very realistic to us. They feel like things that we could achieve in some ways. I think we just have to be careful not to, you know, kind of compare our real life to something that has a whole writing room and multiple editors.
Do you have an example of something that you saw in storytelling that you kind of were like, it didn't really play out like that in my real life?
Ooh, you know, I feel like motherhood would have to be that for me.
Oh,
and
true.
I don't think I can point to any one like instance or, you know, depiction, but I just feel like I saw in media like lots of stories around like how hard it is to kind of, you know, bring children into the family and how priorities shift and all of these things. And the real life version of that is like so much more difficult than I think anything that I ever saw depicted in media.
Right. And I imagine like because being a mother is 24/7 and we get maybe like 30 minutes to an hour with motherhood right. depicted on the screen or, you know, if a book takes you 10 hours to read over the course of the book, that really does not compare to what you're doing with your kids day in and day out. So I can see how that depiction is like super truncated and maybe only shows like the highlights or maybe like some very low lights, but not really all the stuff in between. But how do you think social media has impacted our expectations? Have you seen that within the Therapy for Black Girls group or talking to people while you've been on tour?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and you know, I think that social media adds a different level of nuance to this conversation because while we are able to recognize like Insecure and Living Single and like the things that we watch on TV as entertainment, I don't think that we always view like what we're watching on social media as entertainment. And a lot of it actually is meant for entertainment, but because they look like real people like us, then we get caught up in comparing like our vacation to the vacation they took in Bali, right? And how that doesn't match up. And then we're really frustrated and sad that like our pictures don't look like the ones we saw this influencer who has a team of photographers and like all of these things. Like I think we do more comparing ourselves to what we see on social media than we even do to Insecure because we clearly know that those are characters. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this is something that has come up a lot in the Therapy for Black Girls community. Just around people like having to take breaks from social media because they find themselves like doing too much comparison or it's really hard to kind of stay focused on whatever your journey is, whether that be healing or motherhood or entrepreneurship, because you're always paying attention to like other people's shiny objects.
Right.
Right. So like, oh, they launched this course. So now do I need a course? Or, oh, look at how beautiful their family portraits are and mine don't look like that. Like, I just feel like social media does it elicits a lot of these very strong reactions from people. And I don't think they always recognize like what's going on because you think it is you kind of keeping in touch with friends, right? Like when you think about like some of these parasocial relationships, right? Like there's a lot of money to be made by us feeling like we have these, you know, cousin in my head kind of relationship with people that we follow on Instagram. But in a lot of ways that can be unhealthy because you are setting yourself up and trying to compare yourself to something that is like an idealized version of life as opposed to like the basic day-to-day version of life that most of us are actually living.
We'll be back with Dr. Joy after the break. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise, all things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
So if we're having these moments where we're looking at a television show and we're seeing that our reality doesn't match up to it, but we want them to be more in alignment, what are ways that we can tell that in ourselves, okay, that's normal for us to do? There are specific psychological reasons why we're responding this way, and we are able to move through life still like in a healthy, normal way.
So anytime things kind of veer off course where you are finding disturbances in your sleep, disturbances in your appetite, you are wanting to kind of be less engaged with things that you normally were really excited about. Like, I think all of those are signs that like something is off and you need to kind of pay attention to like what has happened. I also think you have to be careful. And I think we kind of joke about this, but I do know that there are extremes for any circumstance, right? We kind of joke about, you know, like, oh, what do I do now that my favorite show is no longer on the air and I need a support group and, you know, like all of these things. And I think like some of that is normal. Like, you know, I think a lot of us were sad when Insecure ended because we loved it and like wanted to spend Sunday nights with them. But if you find yourself staying in that space for too long, I do think that that is an indication that like something, there's some need that's not being met that you were addressing through this show. Because it's normal to kind of have, you know, parasocial relationships and attachments to characters, but they are characters, right? And so I think when you find yourself over-identifying with a particular fantasy world or some disturbance in sleep, or you're kind of spending too much time kind of being obsessed around things that like happened on a show, then I do think that that is an indication that, you know, hey, what's going on here? Like, are you trying to avoid something else in your real life by being preoccupied with this fantasy world that somebody else created?
Speaking of being too enthralled in these shows, do you have any tips for folks who are struggling with managing expectations or for like grounding themselves in reality? Any practices that you would recommend?
Yeah. So I actually think journaling is an excellent tool for lots of these kinds of things, because I think when you can write things down or talk them through, like if you want to do voice notes and really kind of get at like what is motivating your behavior, I think that that unveils a lot for us. Right. So if you are finding yourself kind of staying with a particular storyline, or you feel like the lines are blurring between reality and fantasy world, like, well, what is it that like makes me want to spend time with these characters, and where might that be missing in my own life, and what kinds of things can I do to get more of that? You know, kind of like our earlier conversations of, if you're missing this kind of thing, this living single vibe, like what pieces of that can you bring into your own life? And I think journaling is an excellent way to kind of get at some of those questions and to really be able to check in with yourself to see where there may be, you know, kind of holes in your reality. I also think I have to, of course, advocate for therapy, because I think talking with a therapist about some of these concerns can be really helpful. And I think if you're somebody who finds yourself like struggling with like, okay, I'm feeling very over-identified with a character, or, you know, I'm sticking with these story longs longer than I think I should, it may feel kind of weird to say that to like a friend, but, you know, in a therapist's office, like, you know, there is no weird thing. Like, there's nothing that you can't go to a therapist with. And so it may feel safer to be able to kind of talk through whatever it is that you're feeling with a therapist, as opposed to somebody who is in your life on a more regular basis.
And I think one of the things that is similar to me and Eve's expectations versus reality is just wanting to be known by somebody. Like, I want my therapist to know me. She wants to have that group of friends that knows her. And so one thing that I really liked from your book is doing that self-assessment and sisterhood assessment. So if someone's struggling with, oh, like, I wanted to have this like big friend group, or just like, a really good girlfriend and they're not feeling that, like, take that assessment and say, like, okay, do I have people in my life that I'm just kind of overlooking that actually do pour into me? And how am I as a friend? Because, you know, it needs to have that reciprocation. So that's one thing that I was like, oh, Dr. Joy read me. But it was helpful after I was mad at you for a little bit.
Anger is a totally, totally appropriate response to have. And, you know, I really want to stay there for a moment, Katie, because this feeling of being known by somebody and really seen for all of who we are is incredibly powerful. And I think that is one of the strengths that Black women have, right, is being able to kind of hold space and, like, our friends and our girls can kind of see us even when we don't want to admit that thing to ourselves. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I think a lot of times what I'm seeing now is people kind of wanting to be unbothered, so to speak, and like, oh, it's okay if, like, people don't, you know, pay attention to me. But actually, it's not. Like, we're humans, we're not robots. And so this longing to be known and really seen by people is something that is totally appropriate. And I think it's beautiful when we can cultivate spaces where we can do that for one another. It's really important.
Now it's time for my favorite segment of the show, my favorite and only segment of our show, Roll Credits, where we give credit to a person, place, or thing. And we have our esteemed guest, Dr. Joy, and we will let her kick it off. Who or what are you giving credit to this week, Dr. Joy?
Ooh, I think I will give credit to one of my favorite restaurants here in Atlanta. It's a taco place called Taqueria del Sol.
Okay.
My favorite place, favorite queso in Atlanta for sure. and when I think about that, so it is kind of like a tradition for my family. Like, we are typically there weekly. And when I think about, like, throughout the pandemic, like, that was the thing that kind of felt like a constant. Mm-hmm. So even when we couldn't go in restaurants to eat, we would, like, do a to-go order. And it just feels like this thing that has kind of been like a grounding space for me and my family. So I think that would be my credit, would be Taqueria del Sol.
Okay, shout out that queso.
Shout out. I had tacos last night, so I'm there with you.
Oh, I love it.
What about you, Eve?
Let's see. I would like to give credit to being barefoot outside. Specifically, Katie laughs at me every time I give credit to something. I know it seems like it's out of left field, but it's not, I promise. I just love being barefoot. I have been wanting to be barefoot a lot more lately, like I always do, and I think you know that, but it feels really good. It feels grounding, speaking of grounding. I don't know. Yeah, that's it. That's all I have to say about it.
Period. I would like to give credit to the seasons. I feel like a little twinge of fall in the air. And I was like, oh, we're going into a different season. And I was like, oh, I'm going into a different season of my life. How fitting. So, like, literal seasons and, like, seasons of our lives. And, like, I'm the type of person who, like, gets really emotional when there's, like, a very concrete change. Like, if there's, like, a graduation or, like, a funeral, it's like things are different now. And I feel like the seasons are kind of like a way to mark that, or like nature's way of marking that. So I want to give credit to the seasons. It makes me super, like, introspective. Mm-hmm. Every time I go through a season changing, whether it's just summer to fall or life stuff.
Yeah.
And Dr. Joy, how can people keep up with you? How can they listen to you, read your book, all those good things?
Yeah, so you can find me at Hello Dr. Joy across all the social media platforms. I would love for you to grab a copy of Sisterhood Heals at sisterhoodheals.com or your favorite local bookstore, and definitely share your thoughts with me, because I love hearing how people are, like, going to their group chats with the conversation around Sisterhood Heals. So definitely let me know your thoughts once you grab it. And then you can check out the podcast, Therapy for Black Girls. New episodes come out every Wednesday morning, and you can find all of that at therapyforblackgirls.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Joy.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all having me.
Of course.
So that's that on that. We'll be back next episode.
See ya.
On Theme is a production of iHeartRadio and Fairweather Friends Media. This episode was written by Eves Jeffcoat and Katie Mitchell. It was edited and produced by Tari Harrison. Follow us on Instagram at onthemeshow. You can also send us an email at hello@onthemeshow. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.